Well, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, find your place with me in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 34. Exodus in the 34th chapter. If you're into bumper sticker theology, I'm sure you've probably seen a lot of good bumper stickers, right? And I don't know if you've seen, I saw one that said, I owe, so off to work I go, right? It seems to be the predominant reason that most folks get up and go to work in the mornings is because we owe. We're in debt and all those kind of things. For the vast portion of the workforce, that's kind of the best reason that they could come up with to go to work. But we're seeing a real change in our labor force today across America. One in which senior adults, that is people over the age of 65, re-entering the workforce. It seems to be that somewhere back around 1985 or so, about 10% of those that were over 65 were re-entering the workforce again. Today, that figure is more like 25, approaching 30%. I read an interesting article, a man who actually had retired from NASA. He had a pretty stressful job there, and he was looking forward to the day of retiring. And after he retired, he said, all I'm going to do is play golf. And so he retired, and he started playing golf. And he said after about a year of playing golf, he figured out, I get tired of playing golf. And so he actually got another job at Disney, just working there a few days a week just so he could interact with people and so that he could meet new folks and that sort of thing, so that he could have a purpose for getting up in the mornings. You see, that's what we're finding out, is that people are re-entering the workforce not because of financial needs, but because they need a purpose for getting up in the mornings. They need a purpose for living life. And so people are re-entering that workforce. Among young people that are still working today, the pandemic has really kind of changed the landscape of the labor force as well. People are working different ways. Many people are working at home now. We're working different shifts. We've kind of recreated the workplace, if you will. And then some are complaining because remote work can kind of be isolating. And so, that makes it kind of start competing with priorities, what's important, what's not important, all those kind of things. And so the real question is, why do we go to work? Is a real issue today. And many people are looking for new jobs. They've discovered that the jobs they have are not as fulfilling as they once were. Their life has changed. Priorities have changed. They've understood the brevity of life, and they've understood the importance of making an impact in life. One expert says this: once staff will come back to work, there's a good chance that they have different expectations. People will have thoughts about their lives, families, and health, and what sort of role work plays. And so businesses are now kind of reimagining themselves and how they relate to the world, and then try to communicate that to their employees. One researcher states this. He says, we know from research that meaningfulness and significance, or making a difference, is an important motivator at work and will help people again find sense of what they do or why they do what they do. And so again, it's that ultimate question. Why do we work? Well, I believe, and it's been my experience in life, that when we have a biblical worldview, when we have a godly worldview and a godly view of work itself, then it helps us to prioritize work in its proper place, helps us to put things into perspective. And so maybe this will be a help to folks this morning. Maybe this morning, as we read through God's Word, as we examine God's Word, maybe to help you to gain a little clearer idea of why you do what you do, or how you do what you do, and where does work rank in your priority of life. And so let's look at Scripture this morning in Exodus chapter 34 in verse 21. It says here, 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. And then he says, in plowing time and in harvest you shall rest. Now, you've probably read through this passage before, and many of us are probably familiar with something like this, and, or maybe this is all brand new to you this morning. But let's kind of dissect this, because I believe the writer here, God gives us some insight into what we do, why we do, how we do work in our lives, and how that all meshes together. And so he gives us the instructions about work. He gives us a requirement to work. Notice what he says there. He says, 6 days you shall work. It's an emphatic statement. He's telling us that it's non-negotiable. You will work. Amen? Listen, we're all going to work. God created us to work. Work is a reflection of the God who has been working from the beginning of time. We were created in the image of God. And so if we're going to be like God, then we're going to work just like God works. You'll never be like God if you don't work. Okay? And so God gives us this requirement to work. Think about it. God doesn't just sit around all the time and doing absolutely nothing. Of course not. Henry Blackaby, in our study of experiencing God, one of the first principles was what? God is always at work. God is always at work, and he invites us to join him in that work. John chapter 5 and verse 17, Jesus says, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." Jesus said, "The Father's always been working, and I've always been working." And so it goes back to that principle that God's at work and he's always inviting us. So think about it. It's from the very beginning, it's been God's design and God's plan for man to work. Sometimes people think that work is a punishment because of sin. You know, that man failed, that man sinned, and so God punished man and said, well, you're going to work by the sweat of your brow, but you're going to only produce briars and all these kinds of things. No, it's not a punishment for sin. Work was a part of God's original design for man. Look in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis in the first chapter. And notice what it says beginning in verse 26 there. Genesis chapter 1 in verse 26. God created man. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And then he says, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And then in chapter 2, God gives us kind of a replay here. And he says in verse 15, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and to keep it. Now, I'll just be honest with you. I'm not a fan of gardens, okay? I like to eat, but I'm not a big fan of growing, okay? I'm thankful for grocery stores. You know, that's my kind of farming, you know? You walk down the rows. Have you ever noticed that, how they make grocery stores like farming? You walk down the rows and you pick the products, okay? So that's my kind of farming. But listen, if you've ever gardened, and I have gardened before, that's hard work, amen? There's nothing easy about that. I asked a man one time, I said, look, I said, if in your garden you have peas. And I said, you grow those, you plant those peas, you grow those peas, you keep it all your garden all clean all year. Then you pick those peas, you harvest it, you shell them, you put them in a bag. I said, would it be cheaper if I was to buy them from you or if I go to Walmart and buy them? He said, you couldn't afford to buy what I've got. Not all the time and labor that I've put into it, right? Some of you that garden, you can identify, right? So that's not easy work. And yet it was part of God's original plan for man, that he would place him in the garden, that he would tend it, that he would take care of it, that he would have dominion over the earth. That is, that he would manage the earth. OK, Okay? So there was a lot of work involved in that. So it was part of God's original plan that man would work. So we think that in the ideal state, if there's no sin, there'd be no corruption, there'd be no work. No, I'm telling you, even in the ideal world, this is all before sin ever occurred. This is before the fall of Adam. God had created Adam, placed him in the garden, and commanded him to work, to tend, to take care of it. So why don't we enjoy work today? Well, the reason that we don't enjoy work is evident again in the scriptures. It's because of sin. Sin is what's caused us not to enjoy work. Again, I mentioned earlier, Genesis chapter 3, in verse 17. Because of sin, because of the fall of sin, he says, then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall not eat bread, or you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And so because of sin, we've not enjoyed work. But don't get confused. God created us for work. God has created us for good works. Now, a more significant answer is that we need to understand work. We need to realize that work, not idleness, is to the glory of God. I mentioned this verse last week, but I want you to look back with me again in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, notice in verse 9. Titus in the second chapter, verse 9. Paul says here, to exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, not showing all, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. That is, that we should be the very best employees. We should do our work to the glory and honor of God, that we adorn the doctrine of God. That the doctrine of God be evident in our life by the way that we work, that we reflect the very character of God in our character of work that we do. You see, things as goodness, honesty, faithfulness, integrity ought to be a part of our work day. Of excellence. God does not produce junk, and we should never produce junk. Hey, did your dad ever tell you this? Hey, if you're going to dig a ditch, dig the best ditch that's ever been dug. Yeah, whatever you do, in word or deed, do it to the glory of God. Do the very best that you can do, knowing that it's not only a reflection of who you are, but it's also a reflection of who God is as well. Now, not only in goodness and excellence, but in beauty. Listen, God is a creative God. He creates beauty. And God has given us a creative ability to be a part of His creative work. And so we reflect goodness and excellence and beauty of God in how we work. All of our tasks, all of our jobs, all of our work is really a service to God. When we wrap our minds around this concept, it really changes our work days. It really changes our approach to work. Instead of having the drudgery of having to go to work and do a task, we get up in the mornings and we go into it with an attitude of saying, you know what? What I'm going to do today is going to bring glory and honor to God. It puts work in a whole new perspective. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 9 and verse 4, He said, I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So listen, we have this opportunity to work. We have this opportunity right now to be a witness, to be a light in a dark world. I heard about a lady who went to her pastor and she was all upset and hated her job, didn't like her boss. And she said, Preacher, I need you to pray for me. I don't like my work. I don't like my job. I need a new job. I need a new boss. I need you to pray for me. And the pastor asked her, he said, well, he said, answer a question for me first. He said, where do you put a light bulb? She said, preacher, I'm not in here talking about light bulbs. I'm in here talking about trying to get a new job and a new boss. He said, but where do you put a light bulb? She said, I guess you put it in a room that's dark. He said, maybe that's where God put you. Maybe God put you in a dark room to be a light. You see, instead of looking at that old boss as being somebody that's mean and cantankerous, maybe God put you there to be a godly witness to that individual. Hey, maybe it is that you're working in a place today that's under a lot of stress. I know a lot of people that are working in a lot of stressful situations. Maybe God's put you in that place to be a witness of how to have peace in times of stress. Maybe God's put you in a workplace to be a representative of Christ, to show that there is hope even when the world thinks that everything is hopeless. And so God has put us in this place. Listen, your job will change when you see your workplace as a mission field, not as a labor force. And so God gives us this requirement to work. The Bible says that if man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. So the Bible is very explicit about the fact that we are all required to work, okay? But now I want you to notice the second part of this verse. He says, 6 days you shall work, but, I always love that word but. Anytime you see the word but in Scripture, you know that there's something there that God wants you to catch, okay? It's a contrasting term. Yeah, we're all required to work, but, he says, on the seventh day, you shall rest. It's another emphatic statement. It's not only that God requires us to work, but God also requires us to rest from our work. And so we need to rest from our work. Look, it's the instructions. Don't wait to leave an impression in the bed. You know, don't just lay around there until your body is outlined in the bed. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about just being lazy or anything like that. Listen, idleness is bad, but rest is approved of God. He's not talking about being lazy. He's not talking about not working. But he's talking about proper rest. And listen, in Genesis again, in Genesis chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2, we see that God rested. He says there in Genesis 2, notice what he says in verse 1 of that text. Genesis 2 and verse 1, he says that God in the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Well, God's perfect, right? God's never made a mistake, right? And yet the Bible says that God rested. So rest is a good thing. Idleness is a sin. We know that idle minds are the devil's workplace, right? It's not that we're idle, but we have a proper rest. Listen, God's rest may be like an artist that sits back and enjoys the painting after he's finished it. It is that we give our very best to work. And when we've given our best, when we've given our all, then we stop and we rest and we relax and we reflect on the work that we've done. Listen, God's rest is a model for us. Again, in Exodus chapter 20. In verse 11, Exodus in the 20th verse, in 20th chapter, verse 11, says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. And then on the rest on the seventh day. So it's a model for us. Think of all that God had created. Think of all that God had accomplished. And then on the seventh day, he took opportunity to rest. And he looked at what he had done and he said, you know what? That's real good. Some of you never enjoy your work because you never stop long enough to reflect on it. You never stop to look back and say, man, you know what? I've worked hard this week. But look what I've accomplished. Look what I've done. I've done good this week. Hey, look at the person next to you and say, you did good this week. Go ahead. I'm telling you. Somebody needs to tell you, hey, you did good. You need to tell yourself that this morning. So some of you need to look in the mirror and say, you know what? I've worked hard. I've done good. And reflect on that good work. Listen, so it's a good model for us. It was a day of remembrance, a reflection, a refocus. And it's good for us today that we would stop, take some time to reflect not only on what we've accomplished, but also to take time to reflect on what God has accomplished in us and what God has accomplished for us and through us. You see, today is a day of worship and it's a day of rest. It's a day when we can stop and we can reflect. The children of Israel were to be reminded that God had delivered them from bondage, that they had passed through the Red Sea, that He had saved them and that He had delivered them from their enemies, that He had provided for them in those 40 years in the wilderness. And in the same way, we can stop today and we can rest and worship. And we can thank God that we've been delivered from our enemies, right? We've been delivered from Satan. We've been delivered from death and the grave and sin. We can thank God this morning that God has provided for us this week, that we've had meals to eat, that we've had protection over our heads, that God has provided everything that we've needed this week, that we are without want. We can thank God this morning. We can rest in the fact that God's got everything in control and that He's our God and that He loves us unconditionally. Listen, it's not good physically or emotionally or spiritually to run on all cylinders all the time. Eventually, things will break down. That things will begin to fall apart. And so, it's not only the instruction that we need to pay attention to, but it's the importance of the rest. It'll help you to keep your brain sharp. It allows you to meditate and to learn from the past and to kind of plan for the future. You know, you've heard the story. I mean, it's a common story. There's these two guys, and they're out there, cutting wood, and they've got an axe, and they're out there just chopping, chopping, chopping. And one guy never stops. He's just chopping all the time. And the other guy takes breaks, and he rests. And at the end of the day, he cuts a lot more wood than the guy that never stopped. The secret is that the guy that stopped had time to stop and to rest and to kind of resharpen his axe. That over a period of time, that axe gets dull and it becomes ineffective. And listen, you work twice as hard and accomplish half as much. And there's a lot of you this morning, you're working twice as hard and you're accomplishing half as much because you're not taking time to rest, to resharpen your axe, to resharpen your mind, to meditate on things, to learn from things that you've done, and to recharge your batteries. Listen, when you rest, not only do you keep your brain sharp, but you also will become more creative. When you're resting, when you just take time to stop and to rest and reflect on things, sometimes God will put things in your mind that you hadn't thought about. I know there's been many times in my life when I've been trying to do something, and listen, I am not mechanically inclined whatsoever. I tell people all the time, I can't do construction work. I can't drive a nail in straight with a nail gun. Okay, I'm telling you, I'm bad. But there's been times, and I've tried to work on projects around the house or something, and I couldn't figure it out, and I'd just put it down. I'd get frustrated. I'd put it down, just walk away from it. After a little while of thinking about it, I think, well, you know what? Maybe I could try this. And so, you know, I'd take that time, and I'd go back. Or listen, a lot of times in preparing to preach, man, I study, and I read, and I go through scriptures, and I think, man, that's really good. I like that. And then I just get away from it. I go out and run. While I'm running, I'm thinking about what I've been reading. I think about what I've been studying. And so a lot of times when I'm out running, God's talking to me, and I come back, and I start writing things down that I thought about while I was out there resting and relaxing and really didn't have my mind on those things, but God was able to speak to me through those things. Some of you probably think, you need to start running more often because it really isn't all that good. But nevertheless, it is what it is, okay? But listen, in fact, I heard this the other day. Even Albert Einstein came up with the theory of relativity while he was out riding a bike. It really stresses the importance, does it? Of us taking time to just pause and to rest from our labors. Not only will it make you more creative, but you'll also make better decisions. Listen, we create a lot of problems. Sometimes we create two more problems when we try to solve a problem without taking time to think about it. Without taking time to think about it and reflect on it. Listen, you'll get you'll get more done in less time. And we're paying the price. Listen, people are paying the price because we refuse to stop and to rest. Many of the diseases, many of the sicknesses that are people are experiencing today are stress-related. Stress and work-related, worry-related, family stress, child neglect, disconnect in the families. Listen, there are two income families today because of what we consider to be necessary. You know, we've upped what is necessary now. Well, I need this. I have to have this. Things that we've lived without for years, and now all of a sudden they're necessary. Well, what about this? What about necessary rest and necessary sleep? Okay? Rodney and I got a new mattress here a while back, just recently, and we got one of these little sleep number things, and it's got all this little electronic stuff, and you got an app on your phone that kind of, it tells you what time you got in the bed, tells you what time you got up, tells you how many times you got up during the night. I don't know why you need to know that. I figure you can keep up with that. But nevertheless, it tells you how many times you get up in the night. It tells you whether you were sleeping good or whether you were restlessly sleeping. And then it gives you a score. Now, I'm not saying I'm competitive or anything. But I'm laying there in the bed and I'm awake and I'm thinking, if I don't move, this thing won't know that I'm awake and I'll get credit for being asleep. And I'm getting up in the morning and I'm trying to figure out, did my score go up? Did I have a better score this morning than I did yesterday morning? And guess what? I'm staying awake at night worrying about whether I'm sleeping or not. It's crazy. I don't know. Have you ever gone on vacation and then you have to come home and go to work so you can get rest? See, even in our leisure time, we can't stop. My kids used to hate it when we'd go on vacation. We're going on vacation. We're going to be gone 4 days. We're going to do 72 things. We've got a list. We got to get them all marked off. We've got to be here at a certain time. We've got to do this, and we've only got this long to do it. Let's hurry up, look at this. Let's take the picture. Let's move on. We've got another thing to go to. And we get home, and we're wore slap out because we've tried to do as much as we could in a short amount of time. We don't even know how to relax. We don't even know how to go on vacation anymore. And now in the day of social media, now we go on vacation and we take pictures and send back to everybody to prove that we're having a great time, right? Bottom line is this. We need to make sure that we're taking time for rest, to revitalize, to reconnect, and to reflect. Okay? And so God gives us this requirement to work. Then he gives us a command to rest from our work. But then notice what else he says in this verse. He goes on to say here, he says, in plowing time and in harvest time, you shall work. He really gives us some parameters here. It really kind of focuses us on the restraint of work. That we really, even in busy times, we still need to make sure we find time to rest. Because you see, in plowing time and in harvest time, those are the two busiest times of the year for the farmer. When they're getting the fields ready to plant and when they're harvesting the crop. Those are the two busiest. Once you get it in the ground, it's kind of up to God then, right? The rain and the weather and all that. And you can't help it grow. You just kind of sit there and watch the corn grow, right? And then after you've harvested it, you really can't do anything until the next year when it's ready to plant again. And so those are really the busiest two times of the year. And God makes a point to tell us that even in the busiest times of life, we still need to be sure that we rest. Again, Genesis 2:1 says, notice it says they were finished. God said he's done all of his work and it was finished and he rested. Many of you never rest because you never finish. You just work all the time. You're a workaholic. You work 24/7. Even when you stop and lay down, you're thinking about work and what you're going to do next and what you didn't get done and what you need to get done. Listen, so a lot of you never quit, so you never have an opportunity to rest. Some of you say, well, as soon as I finish this work, then I'll rest. And you never finish. You just find something else to do all the time. In a recent survey, it says 77% of middle-level executives spend 50 or more hours a week on their jobs. We wear it as a badge of honor. I'm just so busy. Man, I work so hard. We wear it as a badge of honor. I hear families all the time. Man, we've got these three kids. They're playing in 9 sports. We got 14 things to do every day. We're so stressed out. We're more stressed than anybody. And they're not complaining. They're bragging. They're happy that they're stressed out. They're happy that they're doing more than anybody else. They wear it as a badge of honor then. J.C. Penney said this. He said, if you have so much business that you can't afford to close on Sunday, you have too much business. Worked pretty well for J.C. Penney until after he died and family took over and they decided that they needed to stay open on Sunday. Isn't it amazing how the principles of God's Word come true to us? When we as a society decide that we don't have time for God and we're just going to operate 24/7, that God begins to put us in a place where we have to stop. Where we have to stop. And that's where we really kind of find ourselves today. You see, too often we say yes to everything that comes our way. We don't know how to say no. Because we don't want idle time. We don't want to stop. We don't want to rest. We don't want to reflect. Because, you know, honestly, we don't like who we are. We don't like what we're doing. We don't like how things are. And if we stop to reflect long enough, we'll realize we need to change. And rather than change, man, we just bow our necks and we just keep going. And so we just never say no. We get caught up even in other people's business, other people's drama. Man, we check our smartphones every 3 minutes. We're constantly in contact with somebody. We're never out of pocket anymore. Nothing upsets me more than to try to call one of my family members and they don't answer. Or I send them a text and they don't answer. Used to. Families would go for a week without talking to one another, you know, if we lived apart and all those kind of things. And now, man, we're just so connected to everything. We participate in all these hobbies. We're perfectionists in everything that we do. And so we've positioned ourselves to be in a place where we can't afford to stop and rest. And yet God's Word says in plowing time and in harvest time, no matter how busy life is, you should always find time to stop and rest and reflect. Some of us have convinced ourselves that we're too busy to rest and wear that as a badge. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm not a psychologist and I'm not an expert on behavior, but I have found this to be true of most people. Most people do what they want to do. We choose to do what we want to do. If you're overworked and underrested, it's because that's what you choose to do. And God's given you an option this morning. God's giving you an alternative this morning to come to Him and you can find rest. It's an invaluable rest. It's to give pause. It's to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the rest giver. Amen. Turn to rest. This morning, you don't have to work to try to prove your goodness. The Bible says, for by grace you've been saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, there's a lot of people today that are working in the church. Man, you're on every committee. You're here doing all this stuff. And what you're really trying to do is not really serve God, but just to prove your own goodness. You're trying to earn a salvation that's been offered to you freely. Listen, you don't have to labor for your salvation. It's a gift of God. So when you come to Christ, you find rest in your salvation. You find rest from sin. You find rest from the strivings of life. You find rest from stress. Anybody need some rest from stress? Hello? Don't be embarrassed. I do. And that's what God offers us this morning. Isn't it amazing? I'll not even say this. But isn't it amazing how much we criticize our government today? And yet our government gives us at least a day off tomorrow to acknowledge the labor force and the work that we've done. And yet for many of us as Christians, we're not willing to take a day to acknowledge the giver of all. So this morning, we have an opportunity to pause and to rest, to know that we have a God who loves us, a God who provides for us, a God who's blessed us with a job, a God who's blessed us with the ability and the creativity to work and to be a part of His incredible creation, but also to take time to rest and reflect on it and to say, man, this is good. This is good. Can you say this morning, this is good? Let's bow our heads this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, this morning, how much we love You. And God, how grateful we are for the morning. And God, thank You for the incredible work that You did in creation. And God, thank You for the incredible work that You do every day in our life. And God, just as You demonstrated to us the importance of rest, God, to reflect, to be reinvigorated, God, to be restored for a new day and a new work. God, I pray that today, God, that You would find us obedient. God, I pray this morning that we could become disciplined in our own life. God, that we would set aside that time to rest. God, to reflect on You. God, to reflect on the life that You've given us. God, to reflect on the salvation that's been offered to us through Christ Jesus. God, to reflect and rejoice in the families that we have and the times that we have together. And so, Father, this morning, it's a time of worship. God, when we can rejoice, when we can reflect, when we can say thank You. And so God, today, may our minds and our spirits be renewed. God, may we find our rest in You. God, we'll be sure to give You the praise. We love You, Father, and we ask You this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. This morning, that ultimate rest is found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you stressed out this morning? Are you wore out? Are you at a point and place in your life where you're ready just to throw it all in? This morning, you can throw it all on Christ. Just simply trusting Him this morning as your Lord and Savior. Would you come to Christ today? Maybe this morning your church membership is somewhere else. Man, we'd love to have you right here at Trinity. This morning, we would rejoice in that. Those that are watching online, those that are listening on the radio today, and we would love to be able to hear from you. We'd love to be able to pray with you and support you through these times. So whatever your prayer needs are, if you just communicate those to us, you can call our office, you can put it in our comment section on our live stream. we certainly want to be able to pray for you and lift you up during these times as well. Brother Colin's going to come lead us in a hymn of invitation this morning. As God's leading you this morning, would you come as we stand to sing right now?
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home.
Thank you so much. Brother Timmy, you got an announcement for us this morning?
I want to thank the church on behalf of the deacons for last Sunday confirming the pre-name. Scott Elton will be, Brother Bill will be putting an ordination service together for them. They will be ordained. Stephen's already ordained, so he'll be coming on and joining the deacon serving in October and thank the church for their votes.
Amen. I thank these guys for their willingness to serve. Looking forward to serving with all of our deacons and what God has in store for us here at Trinity. Anything else going on that I don't need to make?
We are still not having our Wednesday or Sunday evening services until further notice. And we will keep you posted as we make our updates to our COVID guidelines as we get them from the state, from the Baptist Convention, and other places. We will always try to make the safest decision for the congregation, for the people of Trinity Baptist Church. For those listening online, or for anyone in the room that still doesn't know, we have an online giving portal at tbcvicksburg.org/giving. That's tbcvicksburg.org/giving, and you can give your offerings there or in the baskets as you leave. This morning, let's all sing together our closing song, the Family Prayer Song.
Come and fill our homes with your presence. You alone are worthy of our reverence. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord.